By listening to this audio, you are agreeing to the terms and conditions found on drmackenziebrooks.com.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Mackenzie Brooks here. Welcome to Chapter 9 of your chosen web workshop for women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, Women's Worker Quickening, A Call to Action, brought to you by drmackenziebrooks.com, your source for continuous development and lifelong learning. Each of the 13 Cherry Pits for Our Minds has been handpicked by me from the many thousands of hours of conversational journeys that I have had and continue to have with the most incredible women as their coach, counselor, and workshop facilitator. I chose the name Web Workshop intentionally. During each chapter, I will be stopping at different points in my presentation and inviting you to reflect upon certain questions. When I do, you might want to pause the recording while you reflect upon your thoughts, and start it again when you are ready. You might consider having something close at hand that you can use to write down your own thoughts. I am inviting you to think of our time together as an online workshop. Now, I would like to introduce you to Cherry Pit number 9. Cherry Pit number 9 is, we end up with whatever we tolerate. We end up with whatever we tolerate. My thought is, I don't have to tell you what you already know, that we currently live in a time of change. Only now, the time of change we find ourselves living in includes more than the traditional life changes that we are all familiar with, such as going to school for the first time, leaving home for the first time, living on our own for the first time, our first job, our first competition, our first sought-out accomplishment, getting married for the first time, being pregnant with our first baby, going to our chosen education program, college or university, traveling on our own for the first time, buying our first car, buying our first house, raising our family, and as we enter the later stages of life, aging and leaving behind being young. And if we choose, retiring from working. All examples of the known unknown ventures that are often part of our life's journey. My thought is, it now seems that we are living in a time of change that may be somewhat different than any kind of change any of us have ever lived through before. For it seems that our climate is in the process of changing. Our weather systems now appear to be changing, and we are experiencing more frequent what are currently called extreme weather events. Regardless of how come this might be happening, and regardless of what it is called, we are now living in what appears to be a new now. And those of us who are here on this planet at this time, whether we choose it, whether we like it, are compelled to learn how to learn, download, and update into our GPS for life what is required for us to navigate through our new now, as we have to do with any new now we find placed on our life's path, whether chosen and unchosen. My thought is that we, meaning all of us on this beautiful planet of ours at this time, are entering a time of unknown unknown, whether we like it or not. And venturing into the unknown unknown is a time when we are compelled, when we are required to learn, download, and update our chosen learning into our GPS for life, if we are to navigate this new now from a place of choice, from a place of being proactive, rather than from a place of being reactive, of being like a cork in the pond of life, being blown around in whatever direction the winds of this new change blows us. And, as we know from previous cherry pits, each time we choose to become our own programmers, and seek out chosen and desired change, we empower ourselves with the motor on our cork in the pond of life. While we still may be buffeted about by the winds of change, we are now more resilient, for we now have our motor, and we are able to putt, putt, putt ourselves along in our chosen direction. I'm now going to share with you one of my favorite quotes, a quote that I have used in my work for many, many years. Eric Hoffer is the author. In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. As you may recall, I started this chapter by saying, my thought is, I don't have to tell you what you already know, that we currently live in a time of change. Only now, the time of change we find ourselves living in includes more than the traditional life changes that we are all familiar with. Cherry pit number 9, we end up with whatever we tolerate. We now appear to be finding ourselves living in a time of change that may be somewhat different than any kind of change any of us have ever lived with before. For it seems that our climate is in the process of changing. Our weather systems now appear to be changing, and we are experiencing more frequent what are currently called extreme weather events. Cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. In the last chapter, I stated, I now hear and see more and more and more women who are speaking up and taking action to protect their children, their grandchildren, and the unborn children by taking a stand regarding how we are using, abusing, and wasting the essential support systems necessary for all life here on Mother Earth, our water, our fish, our soil, our forests, our air, and other life forms are all now being exploited by us at the expense of future generations and at the expense of life itself. Cherry pit number 9, we end up with whatever we tolerate. Women are finding our voices, speaking up and taking action as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses of our precious children and our precious planet. Women are joining together to support each other in protecting both our children and our Mother Earth from predators. Cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. Whatever we tolerate is what we end up with. I'm going to stop now and invite you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question, and to observe, reflect upon, and to entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It's important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have a choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Please ask yourself the following questions. Question number 1. What am I tolerating that I do not want to end up living with? Question number 2. How come I'm tolerating it? Becoming aware that we each have our own GPS for life, our own cognitive closet, our own cognitive orchard, and realizing that we are not responsible for what is learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood is our first step in being able to choose choice for ourselves. realizing that we are actually living our lives through what has been programmed into our GPS for life by others, not of our choosing, and that we now have the authority and the responsibility to choose for ourselves what is programmed into our GPS for life is the second step in us choosing choice. Seeking out for ourselves our chosen change and learning how to update this change into our GPS for life requires us to make a choice to become a learner. Learning how to update what we choose for ourselves into our own GPS for life is an essential life skill, is an essential resiliency skill for navigating chosen and unchosen change, for navigating chosen and unchosen adversity, for navigating life happening after we make our plans, and for us arriving at the learning station called grown-up. Knowing that we will find a way to learn what we need to learn, when we need to learn it, so that we can navigate whatever life places on our path, is an essential component for resiliency, for feeling grown up, and for being a grown up. We do not always get to choose when and where we will grow up. We only get to choose whether or not we will grow up. Sometimes life calls upon us to choose. Life requires us to choose. Life compels us to decide how we are going to respond to the circumstances that life places on our path. The only choice we have is how we respond, not whether we respond. I'm inviting us to invite in for tea to reflect upon and entertain the thought seed that we do not always get to choose when and where we will grow up. We only get to choose whether we will grow up. Sometimes life calls upon us to choose. Life requires us to choose. Life compels us to decide how we are going to respond to the circumstances that life places on our path. It is essential that we know and understand what it is that we are choosing. When life compels us to choose how we are going to act, given what is now placed on our life's path, we are choosing who and how we are going to be in our future, even when we are not aware that that is the life choice we are making at that moment in time. I am inviting us to entertain the thought that what we say yes to takes us in one direction, and what we say no to takes us in another direction. And the choice that we make at that moment in time creates a fork on our life's journey. Carnegie Mellon professor Randy Pausch shared his life learning and wisdoms with us in his internet sensation, The Last Lecture, Achieving Your Childhood Dreams, after he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. We do not have choice about the cards we are dealt. We only have choice about how we play the hand we are dealt. I'll repeat that. We do not have choice about the cards we are dealt. We only have choice about how we play the hand we are dealt. My thought is that it is essential that we understand that we are choosing whether to be one of the learners who seeks out learning how to update our GPS for life to navigate through whatever life places on our path, whether desired and undesired, or to be one of the learned at the mercy of what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life, and living our life through this operating system programmed by others in our past, and beautifully equipped to navigate a world that no longer exists. This is what we are choosing. In times of change, the learners inherit the earth, and the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to navigate a world that no longer exists. We all have the same choice to make, regardless of whether we like it and regardless of whether we want to. What we do with our choice is up to each of us. Cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. I remember being asked by a large organization if I was available to provide some leadership coaching and team development within their organization. I said yes. As part of the contract, I conducted one-on-one interviews with all members of the leadership team in order to assess from their point of view, from their GPS for life, what was working, what was not working, and what was missing in their workplace. FYI, for your information, all members of this leadership team in this organization were women. The majority of the employees in this organization were also women. As I conducted the one-on-one interviews with the members of the leadership team, a recurring theme began to emerge. The theme that emerged is as follows. There was a core group of staff who were consistently late, who were calling in sick on Mondays and Fridays, and who were consistently behind in their paperwork. During these one-on-one interviews, I asked each member of the leadership team what policies and procedures were in place for such infractions by staff, and what action she took when these infractions occurred. After completing the one-on-one interviews and identifying the themes emerging from these interviews, I designed a team development day for the members of this leadership team. One of the questions I had the leadership team discuss when we were all together was, what are the agency policies and procedures for when a staff member is late, consistently calls in sick on Monday and Friday, and has incomplete record keeping? All members of the leadership team were familiar with and able to identify their organization's policies and procedures regarding such infractions by staff. I then had each member of the leadership team write down the names of the staff in her team and identify which staff she was talking about. Once the leadership team had completed the list, I asked them to write down next to each of the identified staff what they, the member of the leadership team, actually did when each identified staff was late, called in sick, and did not complete paperwork. I invited the leadership team to share with each other what they did and did not do when their identified staff member was late, used up sick days, and did not complete paperwork. Each member of the leadership team described a similar response in that she had initially been supportive with these staff members when the infractions occurred. How come? Each staff member had a compelling reason for being late and for missing work, such as a sick child, the car breaking down, up all night being ill themselves. And none of the members of this leadership team wanted to seem insensitive and uncaring. Also, members of this leadership team reported that they really did not want to have a conversation with an adult employee about such basic workplace behaviors, and each of them had hoped that by being understanding and accommodating of their staff member's situation, that the situation creating the behavior would resolve itself, and the concerning behavior on the part of the staff member would cease. Only that did not happen. Each member of the leadership team shared a similar story. It started off with the particular staff person being a few minutes late the first time and full of breathless apology as she rushed in the door, and the leadership team member accepted the apology and left it at that. From that point on, lateness increased, as did the use of sick days, and unfinished paperwork was piling up. There were always compelling reasons for the infractions. There were always apologies, and there were always promises that it wouldn't happen again. Each time the member of the leadership team had let the infraction pass, until it had reached the point where these behaviors were now the workplace norm, and being on time and coming to work regularly and completing paperwork was the exception for this core group of staff. Other staff members who arrived at work on time, accumulated their sick days, and who were current with their paperwork were aware that there seemed to be two sets of rules for employees in this organization, one for this core group of staff and one for the rest of them. When I was contacted, the organization was divided into these two camps of staff. There was conflict between these two camps. A lot of time was wasted on what I call ain't it awful conversations, and productivity and morale was down. The leadership team was really in a muddle. There was lots of pent-up frustration, aggravation, and feelings of powerlessness. The consensus was that something had to change. Once the leadership team had finished providing their updates, I paused, and then I said to them, "We end up with whatever we tolerate." They all looked at me blankly. I said again, "We end up with whatever we tolerate." And I could see the realization dawning in each of their faces as they realized that it was their acceptance of the behavior, it was their tolerance of the infractions, for whatever reasons, compelling or not, that had set up and fostered the workplace culture they were now dealing with on a day-to-day basis. We tolerate all kinds of situations in both our personal and our work lives for all kinds of reasons. The following are a few of the reasons that I have been told. We are busy with many, many competing priorities. We are navigating the tyranny of the now. It is on my to-do list. I've just not gotten to it yet. I don't want to deal with the reaction that I will face when I do deal with it. I don't think that I have a choice. It is just the way it is. It has always been this way, and it will always be this way. I don't know what to do to change it. People won't like it. I don't have the authority to do something about it. I don't have the resources to do something about it. I will get in trouble if I try to do something about it. People won't like me if I do something about it. People will think that I am mean, selfish, and greedy if I try to change it. Following are some of the realities in our life that we do not have a choice about, that we cannot change, and that we have to learn to live with. How tall we are. How old we are. The fact that we will continue to age. The color our skin is. What family we are born into. Who our birth mother is. Who our biological father is. Who our biological sisters and brothers are. What country we are born in. Some other realities in our lives that we do find ourselves living with, choosing to tolerate, and that we have to navigate through, including looking after an ill parent, looking after an ill child, looking after other family members who need to be taken care of, and living through difficult times. What is different about these situations, about these realities, is that they come to pass. They come to an end when the illness is over, when the difficult times have passed, and now the realities in our lives are different. These realities come to an end with the passage of time. There are other realities in our lives that we live with, which are not facts of life, that we tolerate, such as being in give-and-take relationships, where we do the giving and the others do the taking. Where we do more, where we are responsible for more, and where we pay for more than the other persons in these relationships. We have never discussed that this is the way that the relationship is going to work. It is just how the relationship has unfolded. Now, we are living with what we have tolerated. In some of the counseling literature, this type of behavior is referred to as overfunctioners, the ones who do and give the most, and underfunctioners, the one who do and give the least. FYI, for your information, as I'm talking about this type of give-and-take relationship, where one person gives more and one person takes more, please be aware that I'm describing a process that occurs within a relationship. I am not judging how the individuals are in this type of relationship, for there is a time and a place for both overfunctioners and underfunctioners. There are relationships where both individuals discuss and map out how the relationship is going to work and agree to being in a relationship where one person gives more and one person takes more. Many successful people, certainly entrepreneurs, are over-functioners. Being able to do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and how it needs to be done is essential for success in any chosen endeavor. I also want to be clear that I'm not talking about relationships with children when I'm discussing give and take in relationships, for children do come first, and we do expect to do more than they do, and we do expect to pay for everything. In fact, we sometimes become their ATM machine for life. I am advocating that tolerating life situations and certain dynamics which are not facts of life, which are not life's realities, is a choice that we are making, even when we are not aware that we are actually making a choice. Taking care of people, doing things for people, helping people may be something that we learned, downloaded, and programmed into our GPS for life as we journey through our childhood. For many of us, it seems to come naturally. It is actually our strength. And as we know, strengths are double-edged swords. What is our strength can also be our limitation. Assessing the people in our lives to determine whether they know the difference between a handout and a hand up may be a piece of learning that is missing from our GPS for life. We may not have learned how to assess this as we journey through our childhood. For there are some folks who do seek out relationships with us who want to be taken care of, who do not intend for the relationship to be a give-and-take relationship where they give back to us. They only intend, even when unaware of this intention, to do the taking in the relationship with us and do not intend to do the giving, and vice versa. We may be the one doing the taking in the relationship and have no intention of giving back, even when we are unaware of this long-ago downloaded programming into our cognitive closet. Most of us keep making the same choices over and over again, since that is what is programmed into our GPS for life, until whatever it is that we have tolerated becomes intolerable, and we can no longer continue to do it. Some of us are actually worn down physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually by our giving behaviors and activities. Some of us only stop when we are actually brought to our knees and do not have the energy to get back up and carry on taking care of others at the expense of ourselves. We are running on empty. As I shared with you in Chapter 1, many of us only stop doing this when the cost of staying the same becomes greater than the price of change. This is often when we do become aware that we do have a GPS for life and that what has been learned, downloaded, and programmed as we journey through our childhood is no longer serving us. We are not all powerful and neither are we totally helpless. As we now know, a first step in any change is awareness, even if the awareness is, I can't go on like this. For it is often only then that we choose to conduct an assessment of who and what is in our lives that we are tolerating and now find ourselves living with. It is then that we can choose to seek out and learn what we need to learn to update our GPS for life so that it is more in alignment with who we are, with who we choose to be, and with who we are being called to be at this stage in our life's journey. How do we do this assessment? I'm inviting you to reflect upon the following questions. Before I do, I want to remind you that I'm inviting you to pay attention to the thoughts that enter your mind when I ask each question and to observe, reflect upon, and entertain these thoughts. Please observe these thoughts objectively and without judgment. It is important for us to remember that we have no choice about learning, downloading, and programming what we live as we journey through our childhood. We are not to blame, nor are we responsible for what has been programmed into our GPS for life. We are responsible, though, and do have choice about what we do with what we have learned now that we are adults, which is what you are now doing by participating in Cherry Pits for Our Minds. Please ask yourself the following questions. Question number one. What people, activities, and situations energize you so that when you come away from this person, when you leave these activities and situations, you feel energized, vibrant, vital, and charged up. You come away feeling even better than you did before you encountered this person, engaged in this activity and situation. Question number two. What people, activities, and situations drain your energy, leave you feel deflated, running on empty? You come away from this person, activity, situation, feeling worse than you did before encountering this person, this situation, this experience. Question number three. What people, activities, and situations have no effect on your energy? You leave feeling the same way as when you first encountered the person, engaged in the activity, and found yourself in the situation. Now look at the examples of people, activities, and situations that energize you, and you leave feeling better than when you first encountered these people, engaged in these activities, and found yourself in these situations, and do whatever you can to include more of them in your life. Now look at the examples you have identified of people, activities, and situations that drain your energy, that you leave feeling worse than when you first encountered this person, engaged in these activities and situations, and do whatever you can to reduce them in your life. Now look at the examples you have identified of people, activities, and situations that neither give nor drain your energy. You leave feeling exactly the same as when you encountered these people, engaged in these activities and situations, and do what you can to continue to include them in your life. The thought seed that I am inviting you to invite in for tea and entertain is that we do what we can to seek out more of number one, that which energizes us, continue doing number three, that which neither energizes nor drains our energy, and do what we can to reduce number two, that which drains our energy. What we are choosing for ourselves is what we will tolerate in our lives, knowing that what we tolerate is what we end up with and is what we end up living. Are we ready as much as possible to take charge of our lives? Or will we continue to be like a cork in the pond of life, being blown around in whatever direction the winds of life blow us? When we do this assessment, it is important to remember that there are times for tolerating and there are times for choosing change. We each have to assess when these times are, based on who and where we are in our life's journey at that time, and based on what life has placed on our path. When there are situations in our lives that we do have control over, which have become intolerable to us, we now have the choice of taking charge of these situations, if we choose to, by asking ourselves questions such as, what people, activities, and situations give us energy? What people, activities, and situations drain our energy? What people, activities, and situations do we look forward to? What people, activities, and situations do we dread? The thought seed that I'm inviting us to invite in and entertain for tea is what we do and don't do each day is what we end up living. What we tolerate and don't tolerate each day is what we end up living with and becomes our life. What we say yes to and what we say no to is what we end up living with. I am advocating that it is important that we pay attention to what we say yes to and what we say no to, for each yes and each no is what we end up living with. I'm now inviting you to reflect upon those three questions that I have asked you to reflect upon in previous chapters. Question number one. How come cherry pit number nine, we end up with whatever we tolerate is important? Question number two. How come cherry pit number nine, we end up with whatever we tolerate is important to me? And question number three, how come cherry pit number nine, we end up with whatever we tolerate is important to women, to grandmothers, to mothers, to daughters, to sisters, to aunts? We are now at the end of chapter 9 of Your Chosen Web Workshop for Women, Cherry Pits for Our Minds, where I invited you to invite in for tea and entertain, in addition to other thoughts, number 9 of 13 hand-picked cherry pits. Cherry pit number 9 is, we end up with whatever we tolerate. In closing, I'm inviting you to reflect upon the thoughts that I have entertained in this chapter. First, though, I would like to remind you of the cherry pits for our minds that I have introduced you to so far. Cherry pit number 1. We learn what we live and live what we learn until we do something about it. Cherry pit number 2. We are all going to drop the ball and make mistakes. Cherry pit number 3. Listen to understand, not to agree and disagree. Cherry pit number 4. We don't know what we don't know. Cherry pit number 5. Life happens after we make our plans. Cherry pit number 6. Think our own thoughts. Cherry pit number 7. Adversity is life's teacher. Cherry pit number 8. Fear is our ally. And cherry pit number 9. We end up with whatever we tolerate. Thoughts we reflected upon and entertained during this chapter include: in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to navigate a world that no longer exists. We now appear to find ourselves living in a time of change that may be somewhat different than any kind of change any of us have ever lived with before, for it seems that our climate is in the process of changing. Our weather systems now appear to be changing, and we are experiencing more frequent what are currently called extreme weather events. It appears that we are entering a time of unknown unknown, and venturing into the unknown unknown is a time when we are compelled, when we are required to learn, download, and update our chosen learning into our GPS for life if we are to navigate this new now from a place of choice. We know from previous cherry pits that each time we choose to become our own programmers and seek out chosen and desired change, we empower ourselves with a motor on our cork in the pond of life. Having this motor creates choice and increases resilience for us in our lives. While we still may be buffeted about by the winds of change, we now have a motor on our cork, and we are able to putt, putt, putt ourselves along in our chosen direction. More and more women are speaking up and taking action to protect their children, their grandchildren, and the unborn children by taking a stand regarding how we are using, abusing, and wasting the essential support systems necessary for all life here on Mother Earth. Our water, our fish, our soil, our forest, our air, and other life forms are all now being exploited by us at the expense of future generations and at the expense of life itself. Women are finding our voices, speaking up, and taking action as thought leaders, stewardesses, and protectresses of our precious children and of our precious planet. Women are joining together to support each other in protecting both our children and our Mother Earth from predators. Knowing that we will find a way to learn what we need to learn, when we need to learn it, so that we can navigate whatever life places on our path, is essential for increasing our resilience and to becoming a grown-up. We do not always get to choose when and where we will grow up. We only get to choose whether or not we will grow up. Sometimes life calls upon us to choose. Life requires us to choose. Life compels us to decide how we are going to respond to the circumstances that life places on our path. The only choice we have is how we respond, not whether we respond. What we say yes to takes us in one direction, and what we say no to takes us in another direction. And the choice that we make at that moment in time creates a fork in the road on our life's journey. What we say yes to and what we say no to is what we end up living with. What we tolerate is what we end up with. We end up living with what we have tolerated. I'm inviting you to invite these thoughts in for tea and to entertain these thoughts as you would a guest, knowing that these thoughts will leave as all guests eventually do, and perhaps you might reflect upon these thoughts. Perhaps you might entertain these thoughts for yourself so that you can assess for yourself, whether or not these thoughts resonate for you, whether or not these thoughts fit for you, whether or not these thoughts work for who and where you are at this time in your life's journey, given who you choose to be and given who you were born to be here on this earth at this time. And if these thoughts do resonate for you, if these thoughts do fit for you, if these thoughts do work for you, then perhaps you might consider asking them to stay. I thank you for joining with me as I reflect upon these hand-picked cherry pits for our minds. Goodbye for now.